In 1916, the first graduating class of the University of Minnesota School of Architecture included a German-Jewish student named Jack Liebenberg. His firm Liebenberg Kaplan would go on to design or remodel more than 200 movie theaters across the Midwest. Herbert Scherer is a retired art librarian at the U of M and curated a Liebenberg exhibition. Here he explains why so many theaters were in need of remodeling at the time.
Movie theaters had been a problem since the early part of the 20th century. Theaters then were designed for opera and conventional stage plays, and movies were different because you needed to have unobstructed views for everybody in the theater. And then, of course, later on, the sound problem.
$10? Oh, I'm going to take you to Coney Island. Yeah.
That sound problem came in 1927 when Warner Brothers released The Jazz Singer, the world's first feature-length synchronized sound film. Theaters had to be retrofitted with new sound buffering materials like casein and Celotex. The practical demand for remodels was combined with the aesthetic demand for new Art Deco designs, just becoming popular in the late 20s and early 30s. Alan Lathrop is an architecture author and archivist who helped preserve many of Liebenberg's original renderings.
The Art Deco that Jack did, starting in the 1930s, because that's when it really became popular in this area, was more of what we might call a streamlined modern. It was characterized by things having, instead of sharp corners, having curved corners. So you soften the look of the building by curving its corners. Also, other things that would be characteristic were use of metal for streamlining it. Also, there would be a lot of glass, and sometimes glass block would be used.
Innovations in lighting design also impacted the design of movie theaters.
The great thing, too, for theaters starting in the late 20s and especially in the 30s was neon lighting and all of the fancy signs that would flash and ripple and glow and things were all done in neon. Whereas before that, with the older theaters, the old vaudeville theaters and the older movie theaters, all you had were incandescent lights. So Jack was there when some of this cutting-edge technology was coming along for use in building materials.
Other design choices prevalent among Liebenberg theaters were the use of zigzagging lines, stripes of parallel lines, stadium seating, and a double marquee, like on the Uptown.
Okay, if you approach the Uptown, the first thing that you'll see is the marquee. And the marquee is not only a horizontal element, but it's also a vertical element. So the sign Uptown is on this vertical element that extends up three or four stories. And the marquee itself, I believe, has its name on there also, but that is more for advertising what the theater is showing at the time, what the feature attraction was.
Although they were designed to contrast the pessimism of the stock market crash so long ago, these theater designs remain relevant today. Restoration of Liebenberg theaters have become priorities for firms like Renovation Design Works in remodeling the Hollywood Theater in Minneapolis and Sherman Associates in their work with the North Shore in Duluth. Here, Scherer reads from his exhibition catalog about Art Deco and the film industry at the confluence of the Great Depression.
Like the movies, Liebenberg's Art Deco architecture provided a sharp contrast to the surrounding drabness of small-town streets and attitudes. And again, like the movies, it offered a double message. On the one hand, escapist fantasy, and on the other hand, a better world through technology. In theaters like Liebenberg's, sparkling Varsity, patrons could not only get away from it all, but a glimpse of a future worth moving into, a world of streamlined dreams.
For KFAI, I'm Ryan Dawes. Funding for 10,000 Fresh Voices on KFAI is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.